Ding, ding, ding. Ring-a-ling-ling. This is the proper slider. We can't use the WCW 80s music anymore because we switched audio providers. Welcome to the Power Bombcast. I guess we'll talk about wrestling. You know, everyone is always...
Who cares? They announced Moana 2. Who cares about wrestling anymore? Moana 2! Surprise! This fall? What? How are they making that in secret? The Rock will be there. It's related. Incredible. Jeff Grubb, what do you think about Moana 2?
No.
All right,
I'm your host,
Jan,
of the Power Bombcast, Jan Ochoa. Mike Minotti's here. I'm going to introduce him last still, though. And you're welcome, Mike. Entering a number two in the Power Bombcast today, Dan Reichert.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, Dan. Finishing his story somehow, one way or another, Jeff Grubb.
Hey, have you guys tried to smile like Cody Rhodes? I've been trying to do it. It's hard. I think you have to get the veneers like he has to really get it down.
Be real teeth.
Yeah, I got to get the real fake teeth. You got to hide your upper lip
because he shows all of them.
And he's like, the cheekbones like go even higher. Yeah, and it's hard.
When I try to show my bottom teeth like in my smile, it looks like I'm like threatening you like a dog.
Right. Like
he does
the thing
when he's walking,
scare me away.
When he's walking backstage, where he kind of like looks down and kind of like half laughs at something, and looks up smiling. He'll walk in straight faced and look down.
He's like, he's just remembering a funny story someone told him.
Man, this is crazy. Yeah,
he's like, oh man, that Mike McQuanchy, man. Oh.
And you know, our own legend here, he's gonna throw all of us through the barbershop glass eventually, and I'm waiting for it. Mike Minotti.
Kid, honestly, I can go on and on. I can explain every natural phenomenon. The tide, the grass, the ground. No, oh, that was Maui just
what
messing
is he
around.
Doing? He's doing a Moana. He's doing a Moana.
I'll stop there.
Okay. Hey, there's a lot of stuff to talk about in wrestling within specifically the last 2.5 weeks. A whole boatload of stuff. I thought this would be fun to talk about the Royal Rumble, but then the rest of the world happened, and it turns out confirming Vince McMahon is a piece of shit.
Yes.
We've known that for sure, but now hammered home more than ever, a terrible human being that should burn in hell.
I think the thing that's especially awful about this is that, like, I think we've always known for a long time that he's a terrible person, but a lot of times it's spoken about in generalities, and he's terrible, and he's terrible to talent, and he uses these talents up and chews them up and spits them out and screws them over and all this stuff. You could always make assumptions about how shitty he is in other arenas, but, you know, I read that entire lawsuit like as soon as it went up, and that level of detail that it goes into, and a name and a face, and the way he so clearly just saw someone at a very vulnerable point in their life and thought, aha, now that's how I get him. Like, it kind of fucked me up to read that. Like, again, always knew he was a shitty person, but reading again, we should probably say allegedly all over this because it is a legal thing.
Allegedly,
or whatever, but like,
allegedly.
The reading the details of it really for a few hours afterward put me in a funk, and I still get angry thinking about it. And where we go from here is going to be very, very interesting. I think it's going to keep evolving for a long time.
This kind of thing, when it comes out and it's like one concise story about him doing terrible things to an individual, it's like, okay, this is what we know about. It does feel like tip of the iceberg stuff. It feels like we're going to find out a lot more. Like, obviously, like the legit criminal acts that he did that are detailed in that lawsuit, allegedly, they're like horrifying. And of course that's the stuff that should be punished. It's like, it does taint everything else even more. Like, of course he was always a piece of shit. But I'm like, I just think about anyone who was just trying to get by, and it's like, oh, I got to change my life to impress Vince McMahon. This, like, you read, go and read that, and you're like, this is the person I was trying to impress. This is the person I was trying to get to believe in me. And it's going to make everyone involved feel that much dirtier. And it's really sad at a certain point. Obviously, it's terrible what he did. Like, it's hard to, like, couch these in proper terms, but like saying that goes without saying. It's like everything else, like the dominoes go like so deep down here, where it's like now everything involved in this feels so much worse because of him.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, other than allegedly any sexual misconduct or anything like that, you think about the even lower depths that someone like Vince would be willing to go down to outside of any type of alleged sexual favors, right? Think about like the different abuses of power someone can do, especially when, you know, they might be, I'm not accusing anyone of being racist, but may think some type of way about other folks. And that feels especially scummy, other stories that may come out. And it is a heinous situation. And it definitely did put a cloud over, and it's still, rightfully so, hanging over the WWE as it should.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not. Rock came back. Who's talking about it? Who cares? No, The Rock's here. It's fine now.
They're doing
I'm
their best.
It's impossible. Like, that's the thing, is he is so inextricably linked to the history of the company that, like, anything celebrating the history, and like, wrestling loves looking back at history, WWE in particular. Like, you know, look at what's going on right now with the games, with the 40 years of WrestleMania thing. It's like, well, we're already, okay, we'll take Brock off the cover. And then, like, how much do you think Vince is all? I mean, WrestleMania was always him. It's always the clips. I mean, oh, WrestleMania, I guarantee that clips in that story mode. How far do they go here? You know, they got to have discussions about, like, are we going full Benoit here? Do we scrub him from everything? He is so linked to everything that's ever happened in WWE. And now it recontextualizes a million different clips that you see going around now.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, boy, this thing that was weird with Stephanie and Vince in 2003 is very weird now, knowing what we know. And yeah, there's a million clips like that.
Yeah, you think of, like, certain characters or wrestlers or performers disappearing off of TV suddenly, and now it's like, oh, that is why.
Yep.
Or might be why.
Right, could be, and almost certainly is, allegedly. Yes.
Hopefully that this is finally, like, you know, it was so heinous that the ripcord's been pulled. He is out of there. Hopefully we are now in a WWE can move on from McMahon's era, right?
Like, well, I mean, that is very much what they want,
before.
Right? That's what they want.
He's not weaseling back. Yeah, he's not
no
coming way. Back.
Well, no, he's
point.
Not coming back. But
no,
like, we don't know
now.
That the house is clean. Like, we don't know who knew what and when they knew it. Well, they want us to be thinking he's gone. Let's move on. But clearly this story's not over. There's probably going to be more fallout. His reign of terror there was so casual. When you read what they did, it's like he had a certain air of comfort with these acts that is only possible if most people around him in his inner circle were completely comfortable, and then there had to be another layer sort of around that, in my opinion.
Vince and Ace or John Laurinaitis were named in the lawsuit, but then there were I think it was two other corporate officers who were described as very, very long time inner circle people. And like, look, I'm not going to like be irresponsible and like say names that we're all thinking, but like when you think about Vince's inner circle and people that have been there high up for a long time, there are a lot of names. Some are still there. Some have left, you know, like you can draw your own conclusions there. But I think he was able to get away with it for so long because the power that he wielded in wrestling was like absolute. Yes. It wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like a pillar of wrestling. He was the pillar, you know, like, Harvey Weinstein was a pillar of Hollywood, but there were, you know, numerous other places, other executives and stuff. If you wanted to work in wrestling on a major level and make the major money, it all went through Vince. So people protected him. People in his inner circle protected him. And now that you see Johnny has already turned on him, Johnny's doing like, hey, I was a victim too. They are going to start eating each other. And especially now that Vince doesn't have power, no one, you know, unless, you know, he's got shit on other people, then maybe he still wields that power of like, oh, this person isn't going to go nuclear against Vince because he's got some incriminating stuff on him or whatever. But that's where it's going to get really interesting. The fact that Johnny is already, kind of turned hard on Vince. Like, if this goes to court, it's going to be fucking ugly.
Yeah. I almost don't see it being settled out of court.
She's saying she doesn't want a settlement.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the question is if like others will come out, because like you have to imagine there's a million other stories. And if they do find that the NDAs are unenforceable, you know, like I don't know, I'm not a lawyer by any means, but you know, there's people talking about like the Connecticut, like if an NDA was signed under, you know, with illegal acts were involved or whatever, then it's kind of null and void. If the court finds that that's unenforceable, then like how many people are going to come out and be like, all right, here we go. Like, I think you already saw, I haven't read the article today, but I saw while we were on the air, a Vice article went up about John Laurinaitis basically confirming the Ashley Massaro stuff that they denied they knew about. Laurinaitis apparently is saying now, they're like, yep, we knew about that.
Yep, so WWE knew about that, and that's part of him turning, right? It's like, oh, Vince was orchestrating that as well. Johnny is going to have a hard time getting any sympathy for that stuff, because clearly he was also a monster. But that's the strategy there for them. And you're right, it's going to be them eating each other. And, I mean, once one of those dominoes falls, the next one does fall as well. And I think we are kind of at the beginning of that in a lot of cases.
Oh, very much so. And I mean, we saw all the stories popping up, and then Slim Jim decided to temporarily pull their sponsorship over WWE. And then as soon as that starts happening, that's when we saw Vince officially step down and remove ties, cut ties from TKO. As soon as the money starts getting fumbled up, unfortunately.
I mean, remember when, you know, social media was very angry a few years ago about the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royale at WrestleMania, and WWE was like, whatever. And then the second Snickers was like, what the fuck? They're like, whoa, no, we're going to call it something else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The impossible pivot now. I think since the last time we all chatted together, I don't think CM Punk was in the WWE.
No.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Okay. No. God, so much has happened.
Yeah. So that, I hate it because I feel like we're all very decided in our tone of like, I'm done with CM Punk. I hate him. He's a mean dude. And to be fair, he is still a mean dude, still very curmudgeon-y, but it just works in the WWE.
I mean, he can be interesting. There was some really interesting stuff with Drew leading up to the Rumble.
Yeah, great promo stuff there.
That great thing with Seth. I will say he's always been great on the microphone. He used to be very good in the ring. Even before it was clear he was injured, that Rumble performance was not the most inspiring.
It was rough. Actually, are we good to kind of like bring in the Rumble for this stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
Rumble booking was pretty boring in my opinion. And that, I think that's the second Rumble in a row that I thought was actually pretty boring. I'm like glad Cody won twice in a row. But overall I thought it was pretty boring, but like CM Punk, all the CM Punk stuff just felt so weird. And obviously him being injured explains a lot of it.
Was he injured early in that match? Cause he spent a lot of that match, like dry heaving or in the corner. So
it was
the
Drew
time,
DDT.
Yeah. At first, I was like, "Is he gassed this early? Is he like that? You know, bad of ring shape." Finding out it was an injury kind of made more sense. Yeah, I was enjoying it while I was watching it, Jeff. There were good moments in that men's match. Right when Ivar and Bronson Reed fought each other, that was actually the highlight for me. I was like, "This is great."
My favorite bit. Sorry to cut you off, Mike, but was the hot tag with. R-Truth and Tom and Nick Mysterio.
R-Truth, yes, fantastic. Very good stuff. I thought the women's match was great, actually.
It was better.
Yes.
And very glad Bayley won that one. I think it was kind of somewhat easy to predict, but still was the right choice there for sure. Are you guys sad that they didn't even try doing like the Kofi gets back in the Rumble thing? I know he messed up the last two, I think, now.
It was honestly kind of happy they didn't do it. I felt so bad seeing it happen last year and in the year before.
But, and it's like, it's like they were already kind of, it's tough to come up with a new idea every year. It's let them be done with it. It was a really good bit while it lasted.
Yep.
Yeah. I also feel like he unfortunately robs Kofi of any possibility of ever winning the Rumble because everyone is expecting that spot for him. But like before you even get to like the final four of like, all right, what's Kofi going to do? There's still 10 people in the ring. I agree with you, Mike. I really dug the Women's Rumble. I thought it was strong showing for Jade.
That was awesome.
God.
Very good.
It's always fun. Like I had a bunch of people over for a Rumble party and we did the whole raffle thing. I bought the like golden, like, you know, the bingo drum thing with the balls and all that. I went all out with it. And a lot of the people were not wrestling fans and did not know who like anyone was. So it's so fun seeing who, like going in with no context, like who gets a reaction. And like in the men's, there were people cracking up about Ludwig Kaiser, like coming out and being really just like, you know, disdainful of, I forgot who was coming out.
And he
was like,
thing with, I was watching with some non-wrestling fan friends too, and they loved him.
yeah. So yeah, he immediately like comes through the screen to people who don't watch wrestling. And then when Jade comes out, it's just a thing where it's just like
a bunch
of people who have never seen her. It's like, what the hell? Like, yeah, who is that?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
She's got
immediately
presence.
In a way that almost no wrestler I've ever, like maybe the strongest version of that, like, holy shit, immediate first impression, you know?
Yeah. I also like that they featured prominently Jordan Grace from TNA.
She was, that was great. Awesome.
They put her over super hard, walking to the ring with her title, and then like she had to get a KOD on the hardest part of the ring to get eliminated.
Yeah. And that's different than, like, you know, it was crazy when, like, you know, Mickey came in with her TNA theme and the TNA Knockouts title and stuff. But, like, Mickey was someone who, like, the fans knew. Yeah. And, like, you know, I don't see that as the same thing. This is like, hey, here's someone you've never heard of if you're a casual wrestling fan and just watched WWE, and check her out. She's awesome. Like, this was a really, really cool crossover thing.
Chelsea Green was hilarious in it, by the way. She was fantastic. Yeah. Like, you know, I think it was last year where it was just she was knocked out really fast.
Right. They played on that.
Yeah, but this time they play on that, and there's just a segment where she just kept accidentally getting the shit beat out of her, and it was incredible. It was hilarious. Yeah. It was great.
She like had a really good like physical comedy bit that where she, hey, it was a talent, and she pulled it off, and I was legit laughing that entire time. It's like, it never got old, and I was expecting it to get old, and it never did.
She just fully commits to whatever she's given. You know, even like in the past, you know, under like Vince Creative and stuff, if she was given something, even if it sucked, she was going to give it everything she's got.
Do y'all think the Women's Rumble was superior because it was kind of projected who was going to win the Men's Rumble? It was either supposed to be like Rhodes or Punk, or do you think there was like a little bit more surprises with the Women's
Rumble?
Really,
because I thought Bayley was probably going to win the Women's Rumble and did. Honestly, like I was wrong because I thought Punk was going to win the men's up until the point where he like cut a 5-second heel promo right before losing. Right then is like, I'm not going to lose to Dusty's son. I'm like, oh, you're losing to Dusty's son. Okay, then. No, because in general, there weren't a ton of surprises or even big like surprise entrants. Maybe the women's was better with that with Jade and other people. But I suppose
that's something I liked about the Women's Rumble is like, I feel like since they started doing the Women's Rumble, there has been so much like, here's the part where it's Michelle McCool. Here's the part where it's Kelly Kelly. Here's the part where it's Tori Wilson. It's just like, okay. It's like, you know, they occasionally do the Legends thing with the men's, but I feel like every women's one has been like kind of to fill it out. They've done a lot of Legends. And now I feel like the women's roster is pretty damn robust to where they didn't have to lean on that too much.
No, definitely.
Nice to see.
Yeah.
It was a little annoying to me that they, the announcers are like, when Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair were going across, they're like, it's like a mirror image. I'm like, it's just two black ladies. Please stop saying this. Yeah. It's just two black ladies. That's all it is. Yeah. But whatever. That moment was very cool. And I'm excited about all the things that's happening there. Jade Cargill is great.
Yeah. Do we think Jade is going to go against Bianca at Mania? Do you think that is a card they pull?
That's a
pretty card. It's a big card.
I worry, like, put her in that spot in a one-on-one match. I mean, Bianca's great, but man, you really got to carry that. Jade is still fairly green, you know. Yeah. Like, she's been doing it a few years now, but like, she's still got some work to do. I feel like she kind of needs to be on the road a little longer
and have
some more, like, you know, B-tier pay-per-view one-on-one matches before we pull that trigger. But they teased it. I could see it happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, who did Bayley pick?
Io Sky.
Io Sky. That's right. Yeah.
Civil War
there.
It's cool to see Bayley be a babyface again, but it's not just like, okay, we flip the switch back to ponytails and you know, blow up guys. You know,
I
it's like
miss the blow up guys. So.
Well, yeah, it was great while it lasted, but
it
like,
was
I,
great
I think
while
it's
it lasted.
More
right.
nuanced than like, okay, this is still the same character progression. It's not just like I'm the ponytail girl again. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right. Exactly. Like, we're not just regressing.
I wonder who gets custody over Dakota Kai after the dust settles.
Sure. Once she heals up, yeah.
Once she heals up.
Twitch gets custody.
Oh, Twitch gets custody. Okay.
Yeah.
Who do we see challenging Rhea for Mania?
Oh, Becky.
Becky, right? But how did 100%. Becky gets there through the chamber somehow?
Yeah, that could be because we already know the Rumble winner, Bayley, is going to face Io, so we just got to figure out who gets the title shot. So, yeah, it's Elimination Chamber.
I'm halfway through Raw, and I think wasn't Bianca in a match to determine whether she was going to be in the Elimination Chamber, and she won?
It was qualifiers. Yes, it was qualifiers for the Chamber, and I think the Chamber is for whoever faces Rhea and Mania.
It's
got to be Becky. That's the story. That's the match. They've like seems like they've been intentionally keeping them like separate
year
or so.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the money match for sure. And I think that'll be awesome. Rhea is, boy, if you're starting a wrestling company right now and you have a blank check, she's, I think, draft pick number one for me.
Her where she's controlling their group and everything she does, the way that she runs them, the way that everything goes through her, the way that like they all seem scared of her, but they're all frustrated but she doesn't, she's unfazed by them. It's really powerful. It's like really good work in her when she's out of the ring. And then when she's in the ring, she's just a complete presence. So
it kind of reminds me of like when China was in DX, where it's like as a group, DX would be a heel group and she'd come out and, you know, do heely things. But then China would also have her like solo feuds where she was a babyface. So it's like, it's almost like Rhea's the babyface in her feuds, but she's still with this heel group, you know?
Yep.
I gotta say, something I've enjoyed about WWE recently is the increase in stables. I love groups. I love gangs.
To a point. Like AEW. I think we've seen points of AEW where it's like, we have a lot of Hardy Family Office and all this shit. And so there's a right amount for sure.
Yes. There's a right amount and not just haphazardly putting people together. That being said, R-Truth should just join every single faction.
Oh, God. He's killing it. He's so absolutely funny. Killing it. It's great too, because like I know everyone finds like legit finds him fucking hilarious. Like everyone on the roster, that's the first thing they'll say about R-Truth is like he's fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. And so you watch anyone reacting to him when he's doing his stuff, and you can tell they're trying so hard not to corpse. Like I loved it when he was telling Damian Priest, he's like, oh, you're like my older brother, and Damian just deadface like, you're older than me, Truth.
You're older than me.
I just love the bit that Truth's childhood hero is John Cena,
hilarious. He does his moves.
Let's go back to the men's rumble. I thought it was all right. Yeah, I don't know.
I liked it.
I'm glad Cody won. I'm like, I am kind of all aboard with Cody at this point.
Sure.
I think in 2024, making the white meat babyface work is really, really, really impressive. And it's like, makes me want to root for him. The fact that he like kind of no one else could possibly do this other than him. And that's, John Cena was doing it for a while and then he kind of ran that out. And it's like, it felt like, okay, that was going to be it. That's the last beacon of what that looks like. Obviously it's a little bit different with Cody Rhodes, but the fact that he's able to just twist it and still basically be that kind of character, and it's all smiles and it's all high fives to kids and it works. And I want him to win.
Man, have they made this as confusing as possible.
Yes.
I don't consider myself the, get angry about wrestling storylines guy that a lot of the internet is doing right now. They're getting furious, but I can't deny they have made this confusing and they made everyone look stupid. I think.
So for folks that may not be up to date, Cody Rhodes wound up winning the Men's Royal Rumble and then very obliquely challenging Roman Reigns at the end of that pay-per-view.
Yeah, he literally, you got Seth up in one corner, you got Roman in the other. He goes to the Roman corner, pointing at Roman on the air at the end of the Rumble, going, "You, it's you. That's the title. That's the one I want."
And the play-by-play is like, "I wonder who he's going to pick." And they're like, "Well, I guess we know who he's picking." And it's like, "Yeah, we do now. Of course he's picking Roman."
And that's been the story the entire time. Exactly. The belt,
For these past 2 years, since like he lost last Mania.
But we didn't consider the fact that he's taken counsel, though. So
yeah, they did not lock it in. They said, "I've been taking counsel from someone that maybe had their own interests in mind." But you can make that something. You can make that story.
You can make that story.
You can pivot, and that's the thing. Everyone's mad now, but think about WrestleMania 30. Everyone remembers and loves Daniel Bryan winning the title. You're not worried about those weeks that he was bumming around with the Wyatt family wearing a janitor uniform beforehand. You know, like that stuff sucked. But they did pivot, and they pivoted under a worse regime back then, a regime that was way more kind of hard-headed about their bad ideas and stuff like that. Obviously, they know what's going on now. They're playing into this now. There's the weird stuff about, the rumors about like the actual contract saying like it's got to be Rock versus Reigns. So, like, okay, is there wiggle room for you bring Cody into that,
So again, for folks at home, Cody Rhodes rightfully can challenge whoever he wants for Mania. We're all thinking he's going to challenge Roman, but then apparently gave up his title shot. So The Rock, who is now a board member of TKO, can challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
And this is why it's confusing.
Shoot board member.
Right. And this is why it's confusing, because Cody doesn't really explain why he doesn't want to face Roman now, other than The Rock said, "Hey, I want to do it." And The Rock didn't really say why he wanted to fight Roman. He just stared at him. And
well, so because the implication being Cody saying like, okay, it's not about, what if I don't take the title away from you? What if I take everything away from you? And I think the implication being like, oh, you know, you've been the head of the family and the tribal chief has been sure. your whole thing for years, but what if we bring in this big dog to fucking whip your ass?
So you're going to finish Roman's story, but not finish your story. Okay, buddy.
Exactly. Like, it is not a good explanation, no. but I think that's what they were trying to do. I do not think that's going to work. I think they're doing great stuff with Drew now. Like, Drew coming out on Raw and being like, what are you doing? No, you wanted to get the title. Come on, idiot. You got to go get that title. Yep. And so, like, I like him being this devil on the shoulder, being like, no, you know, these, you idiot, they're playing you.
Yeah,
like,
I want
to
fight go after Seth. That. He's like, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And, like, so that's the thing is, like, how do you get it around? Do you have Cody saying, like, I got some bad counsel, you know? And then,
well, no, I think the way you do it is, that the like, yeah, I mean, bad counsel, like it was clearly Roman and Rock working together, and Rock came to Cody and was like, no, I'm counseling you, I'm gonna help you out here. But it turns out it's like almost maybe echoing the can't do this, but like the finger push that the WCW that sort of thing, where it's like, oh, you got played here. And I think Cody could still like end up losing in this particular like WrestleMania because of that, and things keep going. And I know that upsets you, Mike. I know you don't want to hear that, but I think they could still kind of play that story and have it keep going. And they put Hard Times on Cody Rhodes still, and that's like, oh, everyone now this board member is working against Cody Rhodes. How could he ever overcome that? And I think it keeps the story going for at least another year.
To what? To make him the most over babyface in the world? He is the most over babyface in the world.
Yeah,
how much harder does this iron have to be before we strike with it?
Well, let's try to make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken shit here. And like, you know, some of the best stuff Rock ever did was after he left for Hollywood and he came back as Hollywood Rock and everything, and he had this air about him. You can still do that because he's an even bigger star
now. You think Rock wants to be heel?
No, I don't think he wants to be, but I think he might have to recognize that he needs to be.
Look, next time he comes out in front of a crowd, he is going to get booed.
He's going to be like fucking crazy. The Rock hears you. The Rock loves freedom of speech. Don't worry. But anyway, then he goes and calls Roman Reigns a pooty poo poo and something.
Now, I think that the best way you play it is you make him super Hollywood Rock. You lean into the fact that he's a TKO board member. They're not. They didn't hide that. They put that on every single news blast they could. So lean into that. You got Roman as the kind of like dominant champion that people are into, that's still like a young relevant star, but also is a heel and can get a mixture of boos and cheers. You've got Rock, who I think is going to be like uniformly booed, but also they will accomplish the thing of like, you know, a lot of people are going to watch, a lot of casual people who know The Rock and don't know current wrestling will watch because of this. So you accomplish that goal of more people. It's not buying the pay-per-views anymore, but you know, buying the merch, you know, getting into the product again. And then you have Cody as the straight up babyface that everyone's rooting for. And you have an unpredictable ending at that point. You know, like people worried now, is Rock fucking a board member and thinks he's what's best for business and is legit going to say like, no, I'm ending this fucking 4-year storyline. There's that genuine fear. I think there's moving parts there. And I do think a triple threat could be kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Agreed. I start to worry about, the Rock's ego, as of late.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and yes. Like, are the blinders on so dramatically that he chooses not to hear it. He just,
I think it's the children who are wrong about Black Adam. I think The Rock was right all along.
Hey, y'all know I have a big, big tolerance for shitty movies, specifically shitty superhero movies. It was really rough, y'all, to watch Black Adam. Really? And like, I'm a big mark for The Rock, which makes this especially hard for me of like, yeah, Rocky, like just go home. Just go home. Like, this isn't it.
Oh, that chant, Rocky sucks or whatever they say, and Seth, that like getting Seth, that was really a good moment. I like that a lot.
That's a fun moment too, because I mean that was kind of the genesis of the Rock character, was that chant.
Die, Rocky, die. I get it, but man, like the Rock hasn't wrestled in forever. Wasn't necessarily that great the last go around. Who knows what that's going to look like? And also, the Rock's not going to beat Roman Reigns if it was 1-on-1. So now we have another year at least of Roman Reigns wrestling 4 times a year. And so that's, Solo can come out and interfere and then he wins.
Well, Trinity has to get, or Naomi has to be folded in somehow to the bloodline.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We're in inning five maybe now.
I think there are major concerns about, The Rock in ring. Sure. Also, I think about, look, he was a master on the mic, back in the Attitude Era. But you saw as he came back over the years, his shtick got really dated. I remember during, the Punk and Cena feuds and stuff. Punk was doing his cool stuff like that, your arms are just too short to box with God stuff, while The Rock was desperately trying to get people to chant Cookie Puss at CM Punk or calling Cena a Kung Pao bitch. And it's just that was 10 years ago, and I'm sure he's not suddenly...
He got Fruity Pebbles over. He got the
Fruity Pebbles
thing
worked. That worked.
And then Cena just rolled with it. It's like, I'm going to be on the box spot for Fruity Pebbles.
Cena got paid for it. Genius, yes.
Yeah, because Cena's the better worker. Yes. There we go. I worry, if we're just doing Rock playing the hits, I don't know if the hits are as good.
I think if he does all that stuff, I think he's gonna get so booed that they're gonna be in a situation where they don't really have a choice if they want to make this work. I don't disagree with anything like you said, Mike. It's a really bad idea if he goes one-on-one with Roman at WrestleMania at this point. I think that seemed like that was the plan based on what we heard on the contract. I don't think they're playing 4D chess or anything, but now that they have everything laid out in front of them, if they can't convince The Rock to shift gears, then they have bigger problems. Then they really do just have bigger problems, because now the ego has come to WWE, and you have to deal with that before you're going to be able to get past any of this. If they are able to get him to work with what's best for the storyline, I think there's a potential for this storyline to continue to be very fascinating, and I am invested.
Well, it's amazing that this is Rock Hogan, but Rock is the Hogan this time around, but he has even more power because Hogan was just a guy with an ego and a lot of sway and a creative control clause. The Rock's a fucking board member of the company.
Yeah.
This is a much bigger version of that at this point.
Yep. And they want to do that authority storyline all the time. It hasn't worked in the last 20 times they've tried it. Could work here. It could work here.
They could. They've been trying to recreate Austin Vince for
forever.
But the thing that pisses me off the most about this is just how it devalues both major titles, right?
They're bad at that.
It feels like it hasn't mattered at all, and I feel like it's an atrocity what they've done with the big gold belt and just putting a big WWE.
Roman versus Rock definitely doesn't need the title. If only, say, Cody won last year, and then we wouldn't have to necessarily worry about making this a title thing.
Break those records. I mean, I don't think
Mike's very upset about that.
The record you're talking about is 4 years away now. Absolutely not.
Dude, it would be WrestleMania, WrestleMania 44. Roman would be in his mid-40s, which is not ancient by wrestling standards, especially not at the pace he is wrestling. Yeah. He is wrestling a handful of times a year. But his style is not particularly dangerous. It's not out of the question.
Who else are they going to bring up just for Roman to tear down, though? Because, Braun Breaker has, an incredible presence right now. I like Trick Williams a lot. You just need Booker T to help do his reference or his entrance. Oh, yeah.
There'll be a whole wave of probably more AEW exiles at some point. You can fight Ricky Starks or something.
Oh my god! Yeah, Hangman.
What if Ricky Starks ends? He's the one that dethrones Roman.
Yeah. He picks up Cody after a match. He's like, "I'll help finish the story, Cody." And then he does his little thing.
I might be into that.
I might be into that.
Punk got hurt again.
You can't believe that.
You can't. The most believable thing in wrestling ever.
Yeah,
I guess.
He's straight edge. He's never done drugs.
Right. He feels the pain.
We need more drugs in wrestling. Yeah, that's what we need.
And that's our motto here.
Can you imagine how bad it would have been if he was supposed to win the Rumble?
Oh God. I feel like it writes it, it. It's an easier story to write, perhaps, if Punk has to give up his title shot and then you play The Rock's music.
Right. At that point, it's almost okay. Well, that's a good filler for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Punk could have a chip on his shoulder about that because The Rock swung in before and took his WrestleMania main event,
Yeah.
Again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, that might have been better, actually.
Dude, the Drew shit, though? First of all, you've got the feud for when he does come back. For when Punk comes back, it's already there. Drew has been fucking hilarious. And, to just be this heel who's just not saying lies is great. You can tell he's having fun with it.
And I feel like Drew is doing it in such a smarter way than other folks in AEW were trying to do it, because they were leaning too much into the ha ha hee hee, look, internet wrestling community, we're referencing the stuff, versus Drew just being an asshole. But he's not wrong.
No, he's just saying like, hey, you were a shitty person to me when we worked together. I don't like you because of that. Like, you have a history of being a shitty person, like just saying what we're all saying, but like with a microphone in his hand.
Go ahead, Grub.
Well, no, I was going to change gears a little bit, so please keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you know, if everything goes right and maybe we get Drew facing Seth at Mania and then Drew takes the title 4 or 6 months down the line, Punk is healthy enough, comes back. That is a hot
yeah, that
feud
works.
To carry us through
absolutely.
The rest of the year there.
And
that
Seth
immediately,
could still be involved there, too, because I think those
exactly.
two kind of really butt heads in a great way.
And, you know, that gives Drew the shine that he unfortunately missed because of the pandemic era, the Thunderdome era of wrestling. But Grub, where are you gonna lead the convo?
I was just gonna lead the convo into like, so I hadn't been watching much of the shows for the last few months, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and watch this SmackDown last week, and top to bottom, I enjoyed every single thing on that episode. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I thought what was happening with Logan Paul and Kevin Owens was great. I thought Austin Theory was fantastic in that match. He looks great. And those three were great together. Bruiserweight, what's this guy's name?
Oh, Dunn.
Yes, love him. And they're like, they know what they got there. This is just a guy who looks like a motherfucker. And they're like, you know what? Yeah, he is a motherfucker. That's his whole deal. He's just gonna mean mug the camera.
Come out, bite a belt, break your finger.
Exactly. Yeah. I was having a great time, top to bottom, on that show. I thought the stuff with Bailey was really well done when they kind of like actually broke that. I mean, I'm like. I don't love the the cameras behind the scenes just happens to catch the thing. I wish they would find a more clever way to do that, but whatever. It is what it is with WWE. So us getting to see that key moment of they're like, we're gonna betray Bailey. Can't wait for that to happen. And then Bailey walking out and overhearing that. But whatever, they come out, they sell it on when they're actually in the ring, and that was really good. So it's just like, man, the writing is very good. I guess it's what gives me more confidence about they'll be able to figure out The Rock. But obviously, the ego is still a problem there.
Well, and you got Gewirtz is back now, and I don't know how much you guys know about Brian Gewirtz, but he is like The Rock's he was a writer. I read it's actually a really good book he wrote a year or two ago, but he was a writer for WWE during the Attitude Era. He eventually got assigned to write all of Rock's stuff, and like Rock eventually like really, you know, glommed on to him. He's like, you are my guy. You're going to help write my promos. To the point where it's like when he left for Hollywood, you know, Gewirtz is like a writer, producer on Young Rock. He works on anything Rock is on or Seven Bucks Production.
That deep.
When Rock comes back for like a little spot or a promo or something, Gewirtz comes back with him and writes it. So like Gewirtz is back there now again. He's not like an official WWE employee, but like the storyline, Gewirtz is going to be involved and he's very much a Rock guy, you know?
Sure. I would be too if The Rock was giving me that many meals.
Yeah.
One of the other big things to come out in the last couple of weeks here with WWE specifically is, gentlemen, they're moving to Netflix.
Jeez,
with
God,
Monday
right.
Night Raw.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I heard Triple H talk about what a great week it was.
Yeah.
Just a great
focus
week.
On the
just
positives.
A great week. Nothing bad happened this week.
That's the other frustrating thing. Cody is such a company man. His answer during the press conference, politician-like. Clear cut.
Yeah, he addressed it. I mean, he didn't go too deep into it, but he acknowledged it and like that it fucking sucks instead of just like, you know, the biggest face of the company. He's like, oh, no, yeah. I haven't read it. It's like, I know. We made $5 billion. We made $10 billion. It's great.
That is what Triple H has kind of been doing in these question and answer sessions, right? Where he's kind of like ignoring it to a way that is very frustrating to people. I haven't been watching
it's
them.
Very yes. frustrating because like yes. okay, so there's different ways to go about it. Like, you know, Tony Khan with the fucking first of
okay.
all the, well, the fuzzy hat and it. Glasses God. Thing is just no. like take the shit off, but he does the thing where he's like, hey, I can't comment on that, you know, like, although he did kind of dance around a little bit with the Jericho stuff, being like, oh, hey, it's a safe place, everything's safe here, right? It's safe, okay, anyway, next thing. You don't try to be like, I don't want to hear about that, there's good things, we made a lot of money. Like Hunter did that in about the worst way you could have done. I cannot believe
it, really bad.
It went down that way.
And it's hard to tell if it was like bad like training from like, you know, the PR people, or if that's just Hunter thought that was the best way to do it. He thought just through pure charisma or something, he could get people to like, yeah,
Triple
actually,
H
you're right.
Charisma.
It is more important
yeah,
that you
right.
made
it's
a bunch of money.
Peanut butter and jelly. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know. Weird.
Tony is not like great at this stuff, Hunter thing was like 101 what not to do, you know?
Okay. Very
and then, like, even Shawn Michaels did a much better job when he had like a similar thing for NXT. Like, and at that point, I guess he had time to learn from it, or maybe Shawn is just better at it. But yeah, it was bizarre how bad, because I mean, if I was going to have a press conference that week, the thing I would be obsessing about the most is how I would respond to all the Vince stuff.
Well, maybe they just assume that, like, you know, a lot of those scrums are very much like enthusiast press, you know. And like, that's not, I'm not going to paint with a broad brush and say that they're all a certain way or anything, but like, some are, you know, happy to be there and happy to be, you know, oh my God, we get to ask Triple H a question. It's going to be like, oh, aren't things great now? But there are going to be at least a few people there that ask the question that somebody should ask, you know?
God, I'm sorry. I just got stuck thinking about all the potential feuds Drew could have if he were to win the title at Mania. Because then you also have Sammy opening up, and then you could have Sammy Mania rolling again for another year.
I hope that, yeah, I want that to get like nuclear hot like it was at one point.
But yeah, how,
right
so,
there though.
So supposedly Raw is, well, not supposedly, but Raw is going to move to Netflix.
Right,
he's going to remain.
And it's not
going to
be on USA anymore. That's what surprised me. But I guess. It makes sense. I mean, if you're going to be spending $5 billion, which is the number that Netflix is spending to get this, you want to be, yeah, and you want to be the place to go for it. And I think this benefits both of those entities quite a lot, right? WWE,
yeah,
there it is. WWE is going to feel good about being on Netflix because they are going to have access to a huge number of people that they simply would never have gotten cable or turned to the USA Network. And now it's going to be front and center for them. And maybe you check it out because they put someone who looks cool up there, or they put The Rock on there, something like that.
And what an interesting play by Netflix. So like, they've obviously dabbled and been interested in live programming for a little bit, like the Chris Rock special, the Love is Blind finale thing. But this is a big play for it. Like, this is their first major, like, long-term investment in the thing. And like, I mean, this could wind up being a huge success. I don't really see a world where this is a huge failure. Like, this seems like a pretty smart get for them.
But I mean, if the Netflix Live technology is bad, like, and everyone just hates using it, we get 5 years from now and they never really figure it out. It's like, man, I wish this was on Hulu or whatever. At that point, yeah, maybe. But as long as the technology is all like in place, it should be completely fine.
And it was not, but like, the Love is Blind finale was an absolute train wreck. It didn't work. But you have to wonder, like, you know, how many people, like, well, are they going to lean on WWE's history of, like, WWE had people that put together the fucking network, you know? Yeah. The network wasn't perfect, but it worked more than it didn't,
yeah, it's
you
pretty
know?
Good.
In a cave with a box of scraps, that's how they did it.
Then again, there were, like, 19 mass layoffs at the company between the WWE network and now, so who knows if those people are still there, but yeah.
Yeah, I just like the world where we could possibly see a bunch of, I don't want to say terrible, maybe C, B-tier movies with wrestlers popping up more on Netflix.
Well, let me remind you that this started, like, the earliest WWE and Netflix deals were, remember the zombie match during the pandemic?
Right.
That was for, was it Army or War of the Dead or whatever? The one Batista
Army of the Dead, yeah.
Zack Snyder movie?
Yeah.
Yes, and the other one was the Golden Egg situation, that Red Notice or whatever, the Rock one. That was another Netflix deal. So they tested the water with a couple implementations, and I remember that was while I worked there, and I remember the executives being extremely excited about these Netflix deals.
Yes. Can you imagine Randy Orton RKOing the Demigorgon from Stranger Things?
Wonder no more.
What else has been happening in the world of wrestling? An obscene amount of things. Have y'all been watching or keeping up to date with AEW at all? Because unfortunately,
I'm gonna watch Dynamite tonight. Yeah,
it's just I don't know. It's just it seems boring over there at the moment. I gotta be honest.
I'll say the devil thing going on as long as it did and taking up so much TV time and leading to nothing. Like I get they were put in a tough position because they like built this whole thing around two personalities that both got hurt. So, like, it's kind of a hard thing to write yourself out of when the whole thing has been built around these two guys. But holy shit, the outcome of that, like, months-long storyline was, like, here's a stable of guys that don't get too much of a reaction, and they don't really have a clear goal, and their leader's in a wheelchair. And can't fight, and they're not over, and, like, they want to fight Orange Cassidy now. Like, that's what this is all about? Like, it's just... I know that wasn't what was planned, but like, boy, if that didn't all land, that was a wet fart. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's not about, you know, I love Samoa Joe and it's, you know, that he's not the problem.
No,
but I don't know how many interesting feuds Samoa Joe can have right now in AEW. I don't know. He can make anything work, but it's just not the most exciting thing in the world right now.
I think you have Joe kick a lot of people's asses for a while because he's very fun to watch do that. Like that hook match was a ton of fun. You know, you don't have to build him up as a credible champion. He's as credible as it gets, but have him just destroy some people, you know, have him, you know, put the title up, defend it a handful of times. And then when it's time to pull the trigger on like Swerve or something, you know? Like, I feel like Swerve is the most obvious, like, on the ascent guy they have right now. He's killing it.
AEW's going to have to figure out how to get a good face championship run working here eventually, though. Like, when MJF turned face, again, it was, like, kind of okay, but it got tiring really fast. Like, the one face that seems to be consistently over to me is Orange Cassidy, and I don't know if, you know, I don't know if you give the belt to him or if you try to get Hangman that hot again. I don't know, but I don't know if the AEW audience is just...
Right, that's what I was going to ask.
Not really the audience for that. I mean, we saw what they did with Cody, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're very cynical. Yeah,
they're so cynical that kind of, like, it's hard to navigate. Even for Cody, maybe especially for Cody, the way he was playing it. Why can't Orange Cassidy just be the main face at AEW?
He could. He could. Homegrown. I mean, I know he didn't like. I know he had an indie run before, but he was day one Dynamite guy.
Right.
The crowd fucking loves him.
Not quite
day one.
Characters not to be pedantic, but yes, what's pretty early. Not quite day one. Not to be pedantic, but pretty early on in AEW.
Was he not day one?
Not day one. I remember they had like vignettes teasing him.
Oh,
and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he had that other music for a little. Oh, he had the Pixies music for a while when he was with the best friends. Then it switched to Jane. Yeah. Yeah. He's, I mean, the character's there. The ring work's there. I mean, people know him. They love him. They get behind him. I think in the same way that, like, I think there's a world where you could have done this right with Eddie Kingston and built him up to be the, like, underdog champion. Sure. But, like, I feel like they kind of were trying to do that with the Continental Classic and having him win that. And I'm glad he got that. I mean, that was he looked great throughout that. Big story, big win.
That was a ton of fun. I'd love that.
Yeah. I don't know if you can just do that story again and now it's for the world title and people get super excited for it. But I'd love to see Eddie in that picture.
Yeah. My problem with AEW is that I just can't really remember any important storylines because I love all of the wrestlers there. Like, I love Swerve, Hangman, the whole roster. But then I also forget. It is an incredibly bloated roster. And with the rumors popping up that we may see a Mercedes Moné popping up in the women's division, I just don't know if that, based off of previous booking history, if it's going to have the longevity or it's going to deliver in an impactful way.
Right. One of the things that is working really well right now is Toni Storm, who is hilarious with her character at the moment, right? So... Yeah, I don't know where Mercedes slots in there exactly. Go ahead, Dan.
But I just worry about, like, how many times have they gotten a big signing, you know, from WWE or a free agent, and everyone was so excited. It's like, oh, this person's clearly going to be finally going to get to be in the title picture and be a big deal. Like Malakai, Cesaro, or Claudio, Keith Lee. I know Keith Lee had a lot, and there's a lot of health stuff going on there. But, like, so many of these big, big, big signings have just kind of flatlined or just kind of been in the background. Ironically, the one that kind of was, the announcement was seen as underwhelming when it happened, but turned into something was Christian. Christian actually worked, and people were bummed. Yeah. People were kind of making fun of, like, oh, you made a big deal out of Christian, and then, like, he's actually been the best one.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah, but on the other side of it, Edge, huge fucking name. One of the biggest names they could have brought over. He's just, you know, doing his open challenge stuff, you know, a couple of fights with Christian. He doesn't feel like a big deal, you know? So that is my, I think, Mike, you were saying that about Mercedes or Sasha, is that, like, you make a big deal out of it, and how quick is it going to be before it's just like, all right, she's just kind of floundering around, doing a bunch of matches that don't really have a build.
Right. I mean, the one person who did move the needle, really, was CM Punk, and there's not another CM Punk out there. There just isn't.
Is there any indication? I think last time we had this conversation, it was pretty similar about AEW, maybe not quite as, like, dire. Maybe it's not dire. I don't know. The conversation was, hey, this is because Tony Khan's booking, and it's all on him, and he writes the show each night before they go live and all that stuff, and it seems like he's still doing that. Is there any sense that any of that could change?
I think that's probably true, and I don't know what really changes that. It's not all bad, though, and that could turn around. Part of it is, I mean, this time of the year is traditionally sort of WWE time anyways.
Sure, that's a good point.
Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, and then all this other stuff, right? We only have so much bandwidth to think about wrestling, and everything I really want to be thinking about, just for better or for worse, is going on at WWE right now, not in AEW.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worry. What Okada? What if Okada goes to AEW? You know?
I mean, I'd like that. I love Okada.
I do too, but is he just going to be a guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Whereas, like, imagine him getting a Mania entrance and how hard they would go for that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think I tweeted it out like maybe before the Rumble, but like I could see a world where I want Okada to take the title off of Roman instead.
Well, if that's what we're playing towards, I might be on board with that.
It's 100% not what we're doing.
That's in the bottom of the ninth, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's maybe extra innings in the 11th. I don't know.
I was like pretty hyped when Michael Cole said, what inning do you think we're in now or whatever after Rumble? I'm like, okay, the fact that they're still alluding to that. And then to have The Rock come in and just sort of mess all that up was also kind of funny. Mike prescribed or accurately said this about me. I like things ironically a lot of times. And so people getting upset about like the way what's happening in wrestling fuels me a little bit. So right now, the way it is with WWE, where like it's great storytelling and everyone's kind of mad about it, is like perfect, like fodder for me to be in a good zone with it.
Yeah, it's that mix of like actual like good storytelling and a good product, and also there's just the right amount of chaos going on, where it's like, what the fuck is going on? How are they going to get out of this? Yeah, it's pretty perfect right now on that front.
I think WWE could be perfect storyline wise. As soon as they get the title off of Roman, just because like I forget he's part of the picture sometimes, right? Sure. And just like having that white meat baby face getting robbed and like, I don't know, Senor Money in the Bank cashes in on Cody, or we build up a different heel. I just want that. Like I want Gunther to demolish Cody if Cody were to like win the title.
I mean, that's why they introduced the Seth title. I mean, you gotta like, they realized that they didn't have a main event scene without Roman, and he was there less and less, that like you had to have that Seth title. And like, you know, Seth has been, you know, busting his ass trying to make that title mean something since it got introduced. So good on him for that.
He just like every time though we see a title defense from Roman, I just know how it's gonna go, right?
Like, that Fatal 4-Way, there's no fucking, I heard some people well, he doesn't have to get pinned. It's like, no, you think fucking LA Knight or AJ Styles is winning at the Rumble after 4 years? Like, no way.
No.
What did happen with LA Knight? He was really hot and it was just unsustainable. What,
they were never gonna get fully behind him. Like, I think everybody wanted him to be main event champion type, like, he's over as hell. He moves a ton of merch, but like, I don't see them ever really pulling the trigger on him being.
Why?
Well, during the Vince time, it was age.
Okay. You know?
I think now, look, there's kind of an embarrassment of riches in the company in terms of like
that makes
people
sense.
That could like compete for that other title, the Seth one. Like, sure, I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, he's extremely over, but there's just so many just young, incredibly talented.
There's Sammy, right? Yeah. There's
There's a lot of other ways you can go. And unfortunately, like, as great as he is on the mic, you don't hear people talk about like their favorite LA Knight matches a lot.
No,
I thought that he was actually maybe the best worker in that Fatal 4-Way, though. I think he
AJ Styles.
In that match, maybe I have to see it again. But in that match, I thought that LA Knight was doing actually a lot.
He's good. He's good, definitely.
When I say work, I mean for that match. I don't think overall LA Knight's a better worker than AJ Styles.
Sure.
No, but I thought he shined in that Fatal 4-Way better than anybody else.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's just like that's your biggest title, and it's so predictable what's going to happen. Or we're just like, all right, we're a solo. Yep.
They got to do something about that. The predictability, and I mean, you worry about
just
that.
Just have him win then. If he's supposed to be this big monster, like super serious, scary heel that they present him, then let him win.
But then that's where it gets tough. And then are we going to make her main event baby faces look like chumps over and over and over again?
Like, they've looked like chumps is the problem already, though.
They do look like chumps.
By design, that's what they wanted to do with him, and that's the direction they're going with.
Yeah. Like, I hate seeing Randy Orton, like, hovering around wherever he is currently on the card, because, you know, we got, like, a couple of years left with Randy, right? Bodies can only hold out for so long. You can only play Call of Duty in a trailer for so long. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Randy's had his runs, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Randy's in that slot of like the super legend, huge name that you can put him into any feud. He can take the loss. He can eat the pin, and his name value has not diminished. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we get out of here, what do we want to see at Mania? What's the ultimate wish list here, folks? And we're not just the main title. We're still gonna get two nights, right?
Well, first let's look at what the obvious plan was. They were clearly heading in the direction of Roman versus Cody. of Punk versus Seth, of Gunther versus Brock. You would think Jay versus Jimmy, but that seems to be thrown off now. You know, Rhea, Becky, Bailey, EO seems like that was probably the plan. But like, it is insane how much I think somebody brought up like the butterfly effect of like if Jack Perry doesn't say "Cry Me a River" on TV last summer, the card is completely different. Punk doesn't come back.
That's a really good point.
Drew does. Yeah, like a lot of things are very different right now.
All because of Jack Real Perry Glass
on a pre-show match with Luke Perry's son.
So if Luke Perry was never on 902, you got to go all the way back. Yeah. Like
Yeah.
Jesus. So I mean, that's obviously what the plan was those matches. And Gunther, they definitely got to pivot with him. I mean, Gunther had spoken for a long time about how Brock was the dream match, and look, understandably why that's not happening. It looks like they were planting the seeds for Gunther and Jay. They were planning on Monday, I think.
Still see that, yeah, like Jay, main event Jay, we got to put some respect on the name.
Yeah,
still would love Jay versus Jimmy, and like it seemed like with them being one and two at the Rumble that might be where they're going for Mania.
Even during the Rumble, they kind of like it went nowhere.
Too far. Then like they were just kind of in there for a while, and then got thrown out separately, right?
By like not strange. Each other.
Yeah. So okay, so what are we looking at here? We're looking at so now
the only confirmed match at the moment is the Sky Bailey match, right? That's the only thing booked. Promoting.
Right. She said straight out, I'm coming for yours. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, very quick aside. I am bummed that this huge stadium show in Australia that Rhea Ripley's on the card for, she's just fighting Nia Jax. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
She'll get a couple
good
spots.
I swear to God,
spots.
If Nia Jax hurts Rhea before this huge mania.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. It sucks that like that's kind of what they need for a heel there, someone that could hurt somebody. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, the main event now. What do we like? What is the Universal Title match? What do you guys think? Do you think it's just straight up versus Rock? Do you think it's a triple threat?
I do think that it's a triple threat, and I do think that they try to get creative with the way that Cody does get screwed over by Roman working with the Rock at the last minute, and then so I do think Cody still loses, and I'm sorry, everybody. I'm so sorry.
In a rightful world, if it is a triple threat, or maybe The Rock is a special enforcer somehow, special referee, whatever you want to do, I think you just have to finally pull the trigger and just give it to Cody. He can lose the title that same week or like a month later, and we just continue business per usual with Roman. But like, I think you need to give people that moment on night two.
I think once you do that, though, I think you let Cody hold it for. Once you're done worrying about how long the title reign was, right? Because it's broken, then that's that.
It would follow with this, 10, 20, 30, 40 in terms of like that's when the babyface workhorse technical wrestler that's been like underappreciated and finally gets their moment.
Well, who did it in 20?
Well, hang on. 10 was Brett and 20 was, I believe, Eddie Guerrero was Eddie at the end, I believe. And
just
no
Eddie.
Else.
Just Eddie.
Yeah, just Eddie. He was there, yeah, with his family, yeah. And then 30 being Brian, and then 40 could be Cody. But, whether or not that happens, I'm not as confident. And
God, yeah.
I think it might be The Rock versus Roman Reigns. I think that might actually be it.
With Reigns as the babyface, you know? Or at least getting that reaction, whether it's booked that way or not, I think it is definitely a thing where the crowd is cheering for Reigns in the stadium.
Okay. Always Be Clothing presents an interesting world. If you were to have Cody win, would Cody win one belt or both belts?
Well, Reigns, it's one belt now.
Wait,
right?
Yeah, they don't have two.
No. Two belts being he goes against Seth and Roman.
No, I think you learn your lesson from that.
I think you need two belts for a while.
Okay. There's so many people. Right.
It is weird already that they put two belts together and then introduce another one that like I see people talking about like a unit. It's like, don't do that again. Like, let's just.
No, yep. You know, don't do that again.
What other matches besides the big title ones do we want to see at Mania?
I think if I was fantasy booking and had a blank check, I think you do Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I think they love doing their big attention grabbing, big names at Mania. And obviously Logan and Bad Bunny have both been in there with veterans before, but that's why, you know, that match would be very Hogan Warrior, where it was like beat for beat for beat planned out ahead of time.
Sure.
You send them to Florida with Shawn Michaels until they are ready to do that match perfectly, you know? And they're both awesome. They've both done great, but they, I think, need to have that match planned down to the move, you know?
One of the best entrances in the past decade, right?
Oh, what's that?
Bad Bunny, one of the best entrances at Payback.
Oh, the Puerto Rico entrance was just absolutely incredible. Yeah, one of the best
Backlash?
Ever.
Yes. Sorry. I don't.
How do you pay off all this R-Truth and Judgment Day stuff at Mania?
Mm. I think you have Priest against Truth. And I feel like that could be a, that could be a good match. And then, like, you know, Miz can get involved somehow, because, like, as Miz and Truth are still friends.
Yes.
You get Tom
and Nick
Mysterio.
Are they
going to
fight The Rock again? Are Miz and R-Truth going to fight The Rock again? Remember?
Oh, yeah. Rock and Cena. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people got mad at Miz when he didn't catch somebody or something. Yeah.
Okay. I, here's my fantasy booking with my blank check, what I need to see now. R-Truth goes against Damian Priest. It's quickly outnumbered by Judgment Day. Judgment Day doesn't care about the rules. And they start beating up Truth. Lo and behold, what do you hear in the distance? You hear the horns. Truth's childhood hero comes out to help out.
Honestly, that would be a great way to use Cena after like having him actual matches that were kind of underwhelming the last couple times. Have him be a big WrestleMania surprise, like when he came out and beat up Elias a couple years, you know?
Yeah. But Marino's asking, what does Gunther do? I don't know what he does.
Well, can Big E come back and fight him?
No,
for his own safety. I don't want him to.
I think they're going to throw Drew at Gunther because Cody's going to have to fight Seth. That's what you get. That's what. Yeah, yeah. But you like that, Jeff?
No, I don't think
it'd be a good match, actually.
I don't think Drew is believable as the guy to take Gunther down at this point. I think Brock would have been a good choice because
I'm not going to miss him. By the way,
no,
never liked it. Was always tired of it.
Yeah, I think the deal with Brock, though, is that it's like, okay, this is a believable person that, like, shit, Gunther ran over everyone, but this is Brock Lesnar. You know? So that's obviously what they wanted.
You would need more time for this story to play out, but in the future, not this Mania, but maybe next or whatever, if Gunther's still holding on to the IC title, you could do Tyler Bate. They've had their battles in NXT Europe before, and, like, those have been, like, really, really solid matches, and you do the whole David Goliath thing.
Would people Sammy? Like to watch Gunther beat up Dominic Mysterio? That right? People would like that.
Gunther's too much of a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I think Sammy Gunther would be a really
Sammy's
fun one.
Sammy's interesting. Yeah, that'd
okay.
Fun.
I'd watch that. Okay.
Because like most people thought they weren't going to pull the trigger on Sammy going against Roman, understandably. But you could kind of see if you had this big moment where, you know, super underdog finally takes down Gunther for that title. I think people would believe that, you know?
All right. Another stupid fantasy booking. Here we go, gentlemen. Are you ready? Strap in.
Yep.
All right. Kevin Owens, Logan Paul become best friends. Bad Bunny comes in to challenge for to seemingly challenge for the U.S. title. He's like, no. I'm bringing out my friend. And then we hear a coin flip. It's Okada.
Okada.
Bad Bunny introduces Okada into this and they're best friends.
I feel like if they bring in Okada, they might like look at when they brought in Nakamura is like, you know, that NXT crowd that would have been familiar with Nakamura anyway. They still kind of had a little like get you ready for Nakamura thing before that first match. They had the vignettes. They had like him kind of zoom in and be like, hey, I'm coming. And then you can learn about the guy. I don't think they would trust the WWE casual audience to understand what that coin sound is. You know?
Okada was being watched when New Japan was popping off in the West a good deal more than when Nakamura was there because he did have like the Jericho stuff and the Omega stuff. I think you're right. It could be like an AJ Styles thing, right? Where he, you know, AJ Styles first showed up in the Rumble and they were surprised that everybody knew who he was, right? It could be that. But you're right, Dan. I think they'd be pretty nervous. You know, are these 5-year-old kids and his parents going to really be all that excited about Okada showing up here?
Yeah, introduce him before, make sure people have a chance to see how fucking cool he is, and then give him the big WrestleMania entrance where people are like, all right, I'm ready for this.
But in all reality here, I kind of wouldn't mind seeing Logan Paul and Kevin Owens going at it again. That was
They've
a surprisingly good match.
They're so great, like that dynamic between like just shithead YouTube twerp like just asshole, cocky, just punchable face against like just like the everyman that's like, God, this guy sucks, obviously. You know, like it's so easy to get behind Kevin Owens there.
Yes, it really is.
Gents, any other wishes, predictions, hopes, desires for Mania this season or the Elimination Chamber?
I hope we all have fun.
That's not gonna happen.
That seems
know.
Unlikely.
Okay. Never mind.
Dan, were you gonna say something?
Yeah, I was just trying to think. I'm just along for the ride. Like Grubb was saying earlier, this is kind of my favorite type of wrestling, where it's like the talent's there, the storylines have been good, and then there's just enough of that bullshit happening behind the scenes. Some of it's, you know, just regular wrestling bullshit, like, you know, just feuds and
politics. Yeah.
But then there's also, you know, the much more real life awful stuff happening that has just been in terms of just following the industry right now. This is going to be a really, really wild year.
If this is how you're getting your wrestling news, and you're like, well, what about Brock Lesnar? He's also a monster, an actual legit monster too. So that's why he's not going to be involved in WrestleMania. They announced that they're done with it, or announced it leaked that he's like not involved in the creativity.
He got taken off the cover.
He got taken off the game. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Which oddly made that cover much better because it suddenly became symmetrical. It's like he was never meant to be there. Yeah. Weird.
We corrected the timeline. Yeah.
And if this is how you get your wrestling news, oh God, you must tune in less than like the big tent poles.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some people say that like this is like what they listen to, and sometimes this is how they find out about wrestling stuff.
I feel like Ben Hansen listens to this because he listens to every podcast, but he doesn't watch any wrestling. And he's like, yeah,
for sure.
If you're listening to this, text me why you're listening to this because that's confusing.
Well, folks, we're in Mania season now, and we'll see if we're, I don't know, what inning we're in. Are we flinching? Are we doing the meme of like the sad guy and then the other guy looking out the bus very happy? God, also. It's such a good shirt that Drew has. Drew's new shirt. It's
great. Yeah, yeah.
The meme.
He kind of stole that from Jeff and I's Killing E3
that's right.
shirt, but whatever.
We did it first. God,
I prayed for this that it happened. It's just so fucking good.
Him doing tricep workouts.
Oh my God. He's amazing right now.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. I love Drew McIntyre. Put the belt on him, please. Folks, that has been an episode of the Power Bombcast. We'll probably see you sooner than we normally see you because Mania is coming right up. Who knows what else might come up and pop out in the wide, wide world of wrestling. maybe TNA is going to reign supreme. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Who knows?
Sure.
Yes, they're going to.
They have
gonna
a great women's champion right now, apparently. So hey,
they do. Hey, also, you know, I don't mind Mustafa Ali and Nick Namath. Terrence Schaap and TNA.
I've heard good things.
We'll talk about more wrestling because we always
do. We should all watch a TNA pay-per-view together.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I would do it. Yeah.
And that'd be great. Hey,
they're not bad. They're not bad.
Yeah, they're not bad. I know.
Live watch along, film in 40s, TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah, do it.
I bet you they would be down with us doing live commentary.
Maybe we get them to sponsor it even.
I mean, we just stream us for the second screen experience of like us. We don't have to put any actual footage up or anything. Yeah.
No, I think
TNA, make the call. Get Dixie Carter. She's probably not in charge anymore.
No,
get someone else.
They just fired somebody, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be in charge then. We'll handle it.
Surprise, guys. It's me running TNA now.
Whoa.
We're bringing back the six-sided ring, and we're adding a cage for every match.
I like the six-sided ring.
It is pretty cool, though. Those X Division matches. God
damn.
All right. We will talk about wrestling on every other program on GiantBomb.com.
Yes.
Wrestling isn't a poison. It's a way of life, brother. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time for another episode of Giant Bombcast or the Power Bombcast. Oh, the intro was already playing. Let's do it again. There we go. We'll see you.